The views and opinions expressed by the Should They Watch It podcast are those of two moms who happen to be a registered play therapist and a voice actor for cartoons. So while they may feel their opinions come from a knowledgeable place, they are still, in fact, just opinions. Should They Watch It? A podcast that takes the task of reviewing your kids' favorite shows off your to-do list. Hey there, and welcome to the Should They Watch It podcast. I'm Kara Edwards.
And I'm Laura Orr.
Today we are talking about Hilda. I mean, and the theme song has no words, but sounds a little like...
There is a lot going on in this song, but at the same time, it feels like such a basic song.
We did it no justice whatsoever. Like, that is a fact.
I mean, how much more justice does it need, to be honest? Do you love this song?
I love this. Okay, I love the music in Hilda.
I do, too.
The music in general has... this, like, yes. I could play this soundtrack throughout the day and just be happy all day.
You're right. It adds so much value to this show. But I will say, most overwhelming opening credits for me go into Hilda. Sorry.
What? What is going on with the open credits? What is wrong with the opening credits?
It's just underwhelming, the music.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying, like, the credits, like, the whole... because there's a lot of, like, stuff going on while the song plays.
You mean the
visually
speaking. Yeah. Visually speaking, it's fine. Just you know how I am. I love a good opener. I love one that can kind of stick in your head and that you can hum throughout the day. This one doesn't do it.
This one isn't it. I mean, but it's a musical. It doesn't have any lyrics. There's nothing. It's not like necessarily even a catchy musical, which some of them are. It's just a nice, lovely.
You mean instrumental?
Instrumental, sorry.
Yeah.
And it's. Where's my coffee?
There's no Sound of Music. I will not be lending you mine because I'm so tired.
We've got this.
I'm going to chug this whole thing while we talk. they can't all be wonderful.
They can't all be one, but they do use the intro to actually give some hints about some things that are going to be going on in the seasons. Like, throughout season one, on the intro, there's like you see so much love between Hilda and her mom. Mm-hmm. But then the intro for season two, it looks like Hilda is actually avoiding her mother, Joanna, who fails to catch her as they're running around and playing. It's kind of this foreshadowing of things to come throughout the season. So
if anyone who's wondering what we're talking about, we are talking about the show Hilda.
It is
a Netflix show cartoon. It's got two seasons so far, about 25 minutes long a piece.
Yeah, 23, 24, 25.
Mm-hmm. So before we dive into the premise of the show, Kara, should they watch it?
Oh, heck yeah.
You're a yes.
I'm an enormous yes. I was the one who actually suggested we review Hilda because Michael and I have been watching this show for years. And it's just one of those shows that always makes me smile. I will go through my long list of why I think this is such a great show, what could be problematic, depending on your kid. But first, Laura, what do you think? Should they watch it?
I'm a yes as well.
Okay.
I am a yes.
I wasn't sure if you were going to like this one.
I feel like I should have liked it more than I did. But the things that I didn't necessarily love about it, I think, are just a matter of taste. But I feel like I should. Like, knowing who I am, this has a lot of elements to it that feel like this is right up Laura's alley. But I don't know if it was the mood I'm in. I don't know if it was just, you know, the wrong time for me to be watching this. I just did not cling to the show like I thought I might.
Okay, I could see that. I could see that.
It felt a little sleepy to me.
All right.
At the same time, I think, and we'll argue our case for this show as we move forward. But I mean, at the very front, I would say yes, this is a show that they should watch.
Okay, for sure. Okay. So what is it about? We have a girl, Hilda, and her mom, who live way out in the woods where monsters and talking wood people are abundant. But there is a new prime minister of the trolls, because there's also trolls out in these woods, and they believe that the house belongs to his people, so they attack. And after much to do and an accidental flattening of their house, Hilda and her mum move to the city, which is otherwise known as Trollburg. While there, Hilda struggles as she learns how to make friends for the first time in her life, live without nature and wilderness, and her giants and trolls and things that she loves. And yet, she still manages to find the monsters and, you know, learn many things along the way.
Yeah, so the majestic things that she saw in the forest are still, you know, are living in her life in the city as well. They just look a little bit different.
Yeah, and this is a British show. Like, this is, it's like Peppa Pig, only like a completely different concept.
Yes, your children will be talking like Hilda by the end of this journey, for sure.
No question.
Absolutely.
The voice acting is so good.
You like it?
Okay. Oh, I love it. I mean, outside of the fact that to me, the mom sounds like Minnie Driver, Hilda's mom, and I kept like picturing Minnie Driver, and it is not Minnie Driver. All of the voices of the monsters are unexpected and wonderful. The trolls, and for me, there's just so much to love on with this one.
It's all very gentle. The voices, I felt.
Very gentle.
Even these like big characters, because there are trolls, like you said.
And scary monsters.
Scary monsters, but I felt like they approached even these creatures very softly, and I felt like that makes it more palatable for a younger audience if they are to watch it, that the potentially scary imagery is also accompanied by a much softer
voice. I mean, they're voice not, these and, aren't like, yeah. Even when they're screamy, it's not super scary screamy. Mm-hmm. And the colors are very subdued colors. Like, whoever did the coloring on this animation, I want them to come and design my entire house. Mm-hmm. It's like the most relaxing, earthy, natural tones, neutral colors with some bright splashes of her hair. Hilda's hair is blue and her outfit has this amazing, I don't even know what color that is, orangish type of color.
Yeah.
They repeat, like, everything kind of matches and goes together very sweetly, which I think is so surprising to me, because I know how much you loved Puffin Rock, which I basically slept through. And now we're on Hilda, which is the calmness and color of Puffin Rock, but has a story.
I thought of Puffin Rock when I watched this. I was like, this is definitely Puffin Rock. I mean, we've reviewed several shows where the overall, you know, vibe, I guess, is very calm and purposeful, and this slides right into that. And so I can't help but think of Puffin Rock whenever we do this, because it's just funny how you and I react so differently to this style of show.
We really do.
We either like love it so much and we're in for the ride, or we fall asleep. I can't figure it out.
But it doesn't make sense how that, like, because, yeah, Puffin Rock for me, again, I loved it. It was calm and it's great for children. But for me to sit down and watch it, like, snooze fest.
Snooze fest. I know.
But Hilda for me, I mean, like I said, Michael and I have been watching this show for years. Like, this is one I have always enjoyed sitting down and following the story. Yeah. And even jumping in and out. Like, this isn't, it is sequential and it is good to start from the beginning. But this is one where you can jump in and just watch an episode and enjoy it.
Yep. Yeah.
And then go about your day.
It's not super plot heavy. They kind of do a lot of the same thing in the episodes, but just they put a different twist on it, or it's a different monster or a different challenge that she's dealing with. But yeah, it's not like these heavy, heavy shows that we've reviewed in the past where if you miss an episode, you're going to be totally lost, which I can totally appreciate that.
I like that too. The show is based on a series of graphic novels by cartoonist Luke Pearson. He was actually also a writer on the Cartoon Network series Adventure Time. Mm. So
have you
this
seen
is
that?
Nope.
Me neither. I've heard of it.
But I've definitely heard of it.
Yeah,
so so this is not a newbie to the writing and creating business. This show has a huge fan following.
Yeah.
Huge. It has 8.5 out of 10 on IMDb. It is rated TVY7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it is, let me tell you, it is, go on Reddit, go online, and it is like fan pages for days.
So it's a TVY7. Do you agree? Who do you think is the audience?
You know what? I feel a younger audience can handle this.
I agree.
And I understand why they did Y7, which means basically they don't believe anyone under 7 should be watching this, youth under 7. But I disagree. This is another, and we preach this on our podcast, is know your kid.
Yeah.
There are monsters. Mm-hmm. There are scary imageries. There are creatures that disintegrate into green dust and give you nightmares at night. Mm-hmm. There is what could be considered scary stuff. Like Laura mentioned, it's not done in a way that is overly scary. It is very subdued. But yeah, if you have a kid that's going to be sensitive to stuff like that, then just go ahead and give them a few more years, and then you can sit down and enjoy it together.
And I would even say just skip a few episodes, because there are some episodes that aren't particularly scary.
Right.
And my 2.5-year-old actually watched one of them, and she was engaged the entire time. It wasn't one of the scarier ones. It was one of the ones towards the beginning, and she actually liked it. And I think it's because of the calm sounds and the pretty visuals. It's a very dreamlike show.
Yeah.
A lot of times it feels like it's just that otherworldly type of show, very much like that.
And you've got to suspend your – this is a suspension of reality.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is fantasy shows. This is actually based on Scandinavian folklore.
Okay.
So, it feels very fable-like. And the way that the monsters interact and these creatures, and you just have to accept that that is part of this world.
Yes, yeah. And I think they introduced that to you right at the very beginning.
From minute one.
Yeah. And they do it in a really sweet way. I really enjoyed how they introduced the elves. They are actually my favorite characters, that they love paperwork.
Yeah.
It's just like a really cute group of people or characters or, you know, whatever, that you have heard of 1,000 times, but they are presented so differently. That was really fun to get to know them, and that they were recurring characters throughout the whole series is really fun. I think as far as an age cap, I would say probably, I don't know if a tween would get into it as much.
I love this show. I'm telling you, Reddit is full of people who are fans.
So you think like tweens and teens would be into it?
I think so. I think this is a show that people can get into. You know, obviously that's going to be a little bit of a grayer area, because they're going to go through the like, is it going to keep their attention? I don't know. I feel like it's something that adults can appreciate.
Yeah, I think when you present a cartoon to a tween and teen, you've got to have something to catch their attention, because they're just going to see it as a cartoon.
Right.
Unless it appeals to them in a certain way. And so I don't know. It may or may not. It has like an indie feel to it that might catch their attention.
Yeah.
I think I put in my notes, any Pacific Northwestern hippie is going to love this show, because it is a lot about nature, and it is a total mood. Like, the mood of this is like going out in the woods and seeing what you can, you know, what's under that rock. What's under that rock?
And it is very, like, there are these giants. There's an episode where there are these giants, and one of them, and it tells this great story of how the giants were so misunderstood, and they were basically run out of town. Nobody wanted them there. Mm-hmm. And one of the giants is waiting on another one, and she turns into a mountain. And again, it has such a fairy tale fable-esque-ness to it. Mm-hmm. And then one of my favorite scenes in the whole series is the giants find each other. Hilda resolves everything with the trolls and the elves, and we're going to stay, and everything's great. And one of the giants steps on the house and crushes the house, and they realize they have to move. And the mom watches the giant walk off, and she says, they didn't even notice what they'd done.
Yep.
And then Hilda looks down and realizes the entire time her mom has now crushed one of the little elves' houses, the trolls' houses. And she says, oh. And it's just this great symbolism of, like, yeah, watch what's under your feet. Like there's so much more going on in the consequences of actions, and I just love so much of the story and the lessons. But I hate saying lessons. But
no, I think that they reinforce that a lot on this show too, of this idea of wherever you choose to go, you need to understand that somebody was probably there before you.
Yeah.
And just because you haven't, and just because you don't see it, there might still be somebody there now. And I think that that's something that we encounter a lot as humans.
Yeah.
When we are trying to do something, the impact that it has on nature, even, which I think is a big message here that they try to explore. The impact that we have on our earth is something we usually don't see until we've already made a huge impact already.
Yes.
And there's already been quite a bit of devastation. I think, like, and not to get too like high on a pedestal about it, but you know, there's these issues with like almond milk now, and what the almond, you know, what planting almonds have, so many almonds have done to like the soil,
yes,
our soil. And so we didn't realize that until it was too late. We had all these almond groves. And so I think that that's a big message that they are trying to bring out in this, is just the fact that merely existing without conscientiousness,
yeah,
can, you know, put a burden on something or someone else. And I that's at least what I picked up out of it. And
100%.
Another thing I really liked about it that kind of ties into this is this idea of the origin of things, how things were made to be, like you said, the mountain, and where things come from and how we tell stories about them today.
Yes.
Was a big message that they were, you know, exploring in this that I really appreciated. And so, you know, how things are now, or how we view things as they are now, are not necessarily how they started out.
Right.
And so that time can kind of change the stories that we tell, and can change the truth. And so through this, you know, beautiful imagery and all this symbolism, I think that those were two of the big messages that I walked away from. I don't think my kids are walking away from that.
Right. These are definitely more adult concepts.
Yeah.
But I do think that kids are going to grasp onto things like kindness to animals.
Yes.
A love of the wilderness, that there is magic out there if you're willing to go and find it.
Yeah.
You know, and I love this sort of explorer, brave. Hilda is such a brave little adventurer,
yeah,
of a character. Mm-hmm. Fearless, completely fearless to meet someone new, understand who somebody is. Don't just judge a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. Ask questions and figure out why they're acting the way they're acting. There's having to meet new friends when she moves to Trollburg. There's some great stuff in there about, you know, being the new girl and navigating that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And you know what? I love the mom and daughter relationship as well. I love the way that they interact with each other. The mom, you know, I go back and forth when I watch this series of, is this Hilda's imagination? And sometimes her friends and mom are willing to get into her like imaginative play with her, or do we just accept Hilda as a reality? Like, no, this is the world they're living in, and mom is seeing it, because sometimes mom sees things and sometimes she doesn't.
Yeah.
But she's always willing to try and just get down on Hilda's level and be like, okay, so the raven talks, or whatever thing is going on.
Yeah, whenever that question comes up, I personally like to err on it's all real. It's just more fun to watch it that way than just like this misunderstood child is making all this stuff up and she's a sore thumb or whatever, in a world of straight and narrow. I like to
see
that,
and then my writer's brain is like, where's the twist?
Yeah. What's the symbolism here?
Ooh, what could this be?
And she does feel like she doesn't fit in many ways, and you know, the way I saw it was more so that these things did exist. She was just more open to it than maybe other people were.
Okay.
And that's what made it kind of fun for me to watch, is, you know, Yeah, it made it easier for me.
I got it.
What do you think?
You know what? I totally agree. I you know, one of the things it reminded me of a little bit is when I was a kid, you know, we didn't have access to television like kids have today. I mean, it existed, but there were basically three things you could watch. Do you want Mr. Rogers, or do you want Sesame Street, or Care Bears? And I was a big fan of the old comic strips.
Oh, yeah. Peanuts
and Calvin and Hobbes, mm-hmm. and all of those things. And I couldn't wait for the Sunday paper to come out every week so that I could grab it and read all of the comic strips. And there is something very similar to me when watching this, that the pacing mm-hmm. of it and the comedy, if you will, and the lessons learned.
Was Hilda a comic book or a comic strip?
No, it was actually, it was a graphic novel.
Oh, graphic
so
novel.
That would
okay.
be, yeah, okay. that would be very similar. Yeah, is how it started out. And of course, I never read the book, okay. so it would make sense it's based on that. But we see stuff based on graphic novels all the time. This one, I feel, really honors what a graphic novel does when it does it in that capacity of just, mm-hmm. you know, each adventure is kind of slow and you, mm-hmm. you know, there's mm-hmm. little bits in between that you can kind of marinate on before you get to the next big thing.
Yeah.
And that's just something that I super enjoy with this.
Yeah, the same.
I like that it's, you know, it's okay to be different. I love shows where they take a kid that's mm-hmm. just a little bit different, and Hilda mm-hmm. is a little different, and her two besties that she makes when she moves to Trollburg accept that she's a little bit different, mm-hmm. And again, they join her in that, and they even acknowledge it, like it's okay that some of the stuff you take us to do is a little bit scary, because that's who you are. You're an adventurer,
right,
and if we're gonna be your friends, we're gonna accept who you are.
Mm-hmm. I really also liked the episode where where Hilda's teacher is trying to basically figure out what to do about Hilda.
Yes.
Because she is
one of the best episodes.
Yes, because she's very different and she learns differently than the other children. And so that was making it hard for the teacher to keep structure in the class, because Hilda just wasn't following the rules that she had established and that all the other kids were going along with.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really interesting, because it kind of raised the question for me of whether or not children who learn differently should be separated from their peers and put into special learning environments, because that is what the teacher was trying to do for her. And so on a grander scale, I was really pondering that as I watched that episode. And ultimately in this episode, the teacher decided to keep her in the class because it was better for her to be around her peers. And it was suggested that the teacher just needed to be more flexible, which is asking a lot, I know. But it felt like the right choice for the show, at least.
But it did
have me thinking about that, because I know that that's a question that is asked a lot of times at schools in our world.
And yeah, I think you're right. Like it is a lot to ask of a teacher, but what is better for the child?
Right. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, because I think the solutions are complicated. I think you can see benefit and then also drawbacks. I mean, because I remember growing up, they did something pretty similar to that in our school, where the kids were divided into classrooms based on their skills. And so you had a class for the quote unquote smart kids, and then you had a class for the average kids, and then you had a class for the kids who were taking longer to learn things. And so I know that this has been done. I don't know if it's necessarily good.
I don't know if it's good. When I think about, okay, and I obviously I come at this with no expertise, no.
Right, neither do I.
I can only speak on it as a parent. And I have one of those kids that can be a challenge to teach, just because his brain does work a little differently, and it mm-hmm. works at high capacity at all times. And so I know that if asked, like, I want my child to exposed seems like the wrong word, but I want him in an environment with as many different children as he can be with.
Right.
Like, I would hope for kids that are smarter than him. I would hope for kids that are not quite as smart as him. I would hope, you know, I think that makes for them best life. I had an acting teacher that was always so important to me. I'm mm-hmm. a great mentor. And she would always say the best actors live the most interesting lives. Mm-hmm. And I think that applies to kind of all people and all children, is the more we expose ourselves to, the more that we adventure like a Hilda and mm-hmm. get out there and accept people and just get to know them and don't prejudge somebody, but actually accept them. Our lives mm-hmm. become so much richer.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. of those experiences. And yeah. that's like when, yeah, I love that in that episode, I love that the teacher had to come around and be like, oh, okay, so she's not, because ultimately Hilda was just so misunderstood mm-hmm. because they hadn't encountered each other before, there or someone like right. that person. And mm-hmm. so I loved how that was resolved. I love how everything in this show is resolved.
Yeah.
There's and there is resolution. Like, they have a problem and it's resolved, and it's almost always resolved with communication, with compassion, with kindness. And that's something that I could cheerlead all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot being said in this show, which makes me think that while this is going to get the attention of kids, it definitely is written with an older audience in mind should they take the time to watch it.
No question.
Because this is stuff like our kids would just be like, yeah, the teacher wanted her out and the teacher changed her mind and let her stay. Like, that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And we see all these other things that bring up all these other topics. So, okay. So we've clearly loved All Over Hilda mm-hmm. pretty hard. Did you find anything problematic?
Personally, it was not just the scary imagery. And then, you know, the pace of the show could be boring for some people. But other than that, I didn't find a lot of things. What about you?
Same. I mean, the monsters could be scary. We've touched on that. If you really want to dig for something, and boy, do I think this is a stretch, Hilda does argue with her mom a little. Okay. Hilda does argue with the teacher a little. There is some That's sneaking true. Going on. There is a little bit of attitude here and there. Boy, I mean, I feel like I am reaching the stretch arm out as far as I can to grab onto those.
I think it's pretty light. Her personality could be seen as defiant. I mean, she is very spirited. She grew up in a different place where she was allowed a lot more freedom, and then she was asked to be in an environment that is much more structured and has a lot more rules and expectations of her, and so she is adjusting to that. And while she adjusts to that, she is a little defiant. And
so, yeah.
And so you can see that. And she and her mom have very frank and open conversations with each other. And so depending on what kind of relationship you have with your child, this could be seen as something that you wouldn't want your child to emulate. But maybe you do. Maybe you do value that kind of a conversation with your child. So again, it's that thing where you say.
Yeah, it's really going to be know your kid, know yourself, know what kind of relationship you have. This speaks to me because this is exactly how Michael and I interact. This is how I interact with my stepdaughters. Very frank, very open.
Mm-hmm. Same.
And listening to who they are. So you always look up one star reviews on IMDb. I was looking this time, and boy, are they hard to find.
Yeah.
Extremely hard to find, because this is such a well-loved show mm-hmm. that I could not find easily a one-star review. I did find a 7-star review that I thought came so close to a 1-star review. I thought it was funny that it was given a 7.
Oh, let's hear it.
So this is the 7 out of 10 review.
I'm already laughing.
It's good, but not that good.
Oh.
The score would be 6.8 if I could. It's got so many great reviews, and I don't know why. Yeah, it's a great one. But you just have to endure the first couple of episodes. That's a quote from reviews. I mean, it's not that bad at all, but I could not rewatch a season or even watch an episode twice, and sometimes I got real bored during it. I could sum the whole show up with one sentence without any spoiler. Keep your friends and have a great relationship with your parents. This is the main thread, and the story's just building on this. No matter how cool they are, they will always end up with this track in the end. I'm not saying that this makes the story predictable, because it doesn't, but it just gets really boring.
Okay.
So generally just that whole, I like that it's the score would be 6.8.
That's interesting. And that opening song, I'm feeling bad about what I said about it. It's written by Grimes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So Elon Musk has probably watched this.
Probably, you know. I wonder if they like have the soundtrack going in their house.
They should. It's a lovely soundtrack. It's so dreamy. It kind of reminds me of, I don't remember the name of the episode in Bluey, but it's the episode where Bingo has like this really awesome dream. It's one of the most beloved episodes, so I'm sorry. It might be, it's called Dream. I don't remember, but it has that same just like very awesome music to accompany all of the movement that just puts you in a trance. It's very like very cool. Anyways, that's a silly review. I feel like that person was saying a bunch of
really positive things, but saying they were bored.
They were saying
in a way. Did you write this review?
No. How dare you? I feel way more interesting than that person. I was going to say that person said one thing in 20 different ways.
I mean, but what could you?
Right?
No question.
It's fine. Like, I'm talking, I'm speaking, I'm writing.
But I'm bored.
I'm telling you things.
But it's fine, but I'm bored.
Yeah, like, okay, dude. We get it. You don't like it. It's funny because that is a person, I think, who is struggling to see all the meaning behind the show, because we haven't even touched on the monsters, and like I feel like the way that even the monsters to me represented like nature and animals.
Yes,
because a lot of times the monsters would appear scary, but really they were just trying to get their baby back because of, you know, their habitat was disrupted and they're having to deal with the consequences of that. And so, I mean, how much can we relate to that when we
so much? All I could think about, what is that saying that's like it's not coming to my brain, but it's basically like, you never know what someone is going through. Like, don't judge someone because you don't know what they're actually going through.
Uh-huh.
And it was so much like, I was like, I feel like that was a lesson that was just being like proven again and again again.
I mean, I feel like they could have replaced, like, whenever a troll got into the school, I was like, they could replace this with any story you've read about a bear getting into someone's backyard.
Yes.
You know, because it's like, we are living among animals and we are intruding on the habitat so many times that predators often end up in our space because of the way that we have decided to inhabit this earth. And so that is what I gleaned so much from this show, is like, it's very environmentally, like, I feel like it's sending a lot of environmental messages.
It's after my own heart. And like, no question.
Kara, you were meant to love this.
There's a reason I love this show.
And so was I, honestly. I just probably need to watch it again. I don't know what's going on with me. It's spooky season. This is not a... It's funny. It's not a spooky season show to me, but it definitely gives me a fall mood. Like, it is an autumnal.
The colors. I'm telling you, those colors. Yes. Like, if I ever move and can afford to have someone come and like like literally from the ground up redo my house, I'm going to be like, can you go watch Hilda and then come and just decorate my house after that?
You are autumnal. Because this is a very autumnal show. Like, you could watch this while knitting.
Oh, I could.
Drinking hot cocoa in front of a fire while it snows out. Like, album she came out with last year, and it was just fall. What was that anyway?
Oh yeah,
what was that one called? Oh, whatever.
You can like listen to that after watching Hilda.
Yes, I mean, this is accompanying that so hard. And so if that's your vibe, then you definitely need to watch this.
I mean, tis the season, Laura. Tis the season, guys. Tis the season. Get in there. And season 3. So there is also a movie. I have to scroll up in my notes. There is a movie, Hilda and the Mountain King. Mm-hmm. It picks up where season 2 left off. Hilda actually starts the story as a troll living with Trilla. I'm probably going to say that wrong. My son started the movie. I was not there, so I haven't seen this movie yet. She enjoys her new freedom and her powers that come with being a troll, but of course there's going to be problems or it wouldn't be an interesting show. Totally. And then season 3 has been announced. The creator did come out and say season 3 will move on from the events of the movie and venture into some new territory. So apparently Hilda is going to appear older. She's going to be dressed a little older. All the characters are going to have grown up just a little bit. It's still going to be Hilda, he assured us.
I like that. You don't see that often in cartoons.
Yeah, where there's they don't age. They actually, this is going to be where Hilda does grow up. And so put her into a new mindset and new things going on.
Growth.
Fans are really hoping that Hilda develops a long-term fear. I did read that on Reddit.
Okay.
He hasn't said if that's going to be happening or not.
Why do they want that so badly?
Because she's fearless. She's fearless. So I guess they want to see that dynamic of her being afraid of something.
Okay. Schadenfreude.
Yeah, so that I guess that's the dynamic they're hoping for. But so it should be very interesting. They haven't said when season 3 is coming out that I could find. Okay. But there is a season 3 in the works.
Awesome.
And then that should be the final season. We're going to be done with Hilda. This was supposed to be 2 seasons, but it was so beloved that they did the movie in season 3. But he has been very clear that this will be it.
Okay.
So there's more to come.
I think some of the best shows have a short run time.
I think some of the best shows are British.
Really?
I do. I think I have a thing for British shows. I love Peppa Pig.
Okay.
I love, like, anytime there's that, just that lovely, you know, calming British accent, I just love listening to it.
Oh, okay. I don't love it as much. I want to.
Okay.
I feel like I'm missing something because I like British comedy has never grabbed me.
Like Monty Python type stuff. Oh my gosh. I watched it so much as a kid. I watched the heck out of Monty Python.
You did?
I did. I love it. I think I love the British. I follow a thing on Twitter that's like no context British. And they just post videos of British people being British with no context. And it is by far the best thing I follow on Twitter.
It's a Twitter thing?
Yeah. And it's hilarious. It's hilarious. I love British people. I do. I just love them.
Well, since we're talking about British people, did you know that there's a movie that, or is it a series that came out with Rowan Atkinson called Man vs. Bee?
No, I didn't know this.
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it yet, but it came out on Netflix a few months ago, and it's.
Is it kid friendly? Is this something we're going to review?
I mean, I would hope so because it's Rowan Atkinson. He's Mr. Bean.
Right.
So Atkinson, he is Mr. Bean. So, and I did watch that as a kid.
Oh, I mean, I've seen it too.
Lots of body humor. I think it's literally him trying to get a bee out of the house and he can't and he trashes the house. So who doesn't love that?
I mean, that sounds amazing.
Doesn't that sound amazing?
It sounds like something we're going to review for sure.
Yes. So... So
if you love British accents, we've got a show for you, Hilda, and we've got one coming up that we'll review. Something really quick, one last final thought, and then I'm done, is I noticed that I thought it was interesting in those first couple of episodes that the big monsters all had American accents.
I did not notice that.
I did.
Oh, well, of course you did.
I mean, wonderful. I did.
The voice actor noticed.
Yeah, sorry.
Yep.
But the voice acting is so good that you wouldn't notice it. But I was like, I find it interesting. But then, like, the trolls and elves did have British accents or different types of accents. But those really, really big giants and kind of scary first things that were scary definitely had American accents. And I was like, what's the message here, guys?
Do you have a theory?
No.
I don't either.
Not really.
Yeah, I don't know. There's got to be a reason.
But there is a reason because you don't just have all British accents.
All right, back to Reddit we go. You know someone's talked about this.
Yeah, so if you know what the thinking was behind the casting, I would be really interested.
Yes, same.
Okay, I think this is all I got too. So please do let us know your thoughts on Hilda or your favorite British show because apparently I love them.
Have you seen Shaun the Sheep?
No, I haven't seen Shaun the Sheep.
I tried.
I go more for The Crown.
That one is, like adult stuff.
Yes.
I get it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Anyway, Shaun the Sheep, is that one we need to review?
Well, they are, it's always nominated. No, please don't. It's always nominated for like.
Okay.
It's always nominated for Academy Awards and
I've
stuff.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. No, it's very, I think there are a lot of either movies or TV shows. It's a very beloved show. It is British. It's nominated for awards all the time. I tried to watch it. I wasn't into it. So I was curious if you liked it. I don't know if it's a British thing with me or not, or just I've had bad luck.
Huh, okay.
Maybe I need to watch The Crown. Is Henry Cavill in that? Henry Cavill?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who else is in it. But it's fantastic. It's so good. Yeah, you got to go watch The Crown, especially, I mean, it's the, tis the season. Go watch The Crown.
No, it's spooky season. Is The Crown spooky?
Well, no, just because, like, there's been changeovers with the, like, the monarchy and whatever, and things have been going on. And
she's no longer alive.
Okay, so get through the spooky season, get through fall season, and then go watch The Crown over winter.
Okay, I'll think about it.
Okay, deal. All right, let us know what you guys think. You can find us on all the places online, Instagram, Twitter, on our website, shouldtheywatchit.com. Should I say, shouldtheywatchit.com?
Should they watch it?
Should they watch it?
And next week, we're going to have a guest. Alexis from the Satirical Mommy is going to be here to help us review Alpha Blocks.
In studio. Which is really exciting. That hasn't happened since Brina Palencia, who comes in studio, which means there's going to be some sharing of some mics, because I only have two ports to plug them in.
Gonna be great,
and she's actually gonna be here with us, so that'll add a whole new fun dynamic.
Yep. So thank you everyone for listening.
See you next week.
Bye.
Subscribe and follow us on Instagram.